Nazira Begum and the Landlord. Written by Geeta Hariharan. Nazira Begum was a plump, friendly woman, and she cooked the best kebabs and kheer in the world. There was not one person in her building who had not been treated to her cooking, or to her kindness when sick, or to her loud, cheery laugh when unhappy. Nazira Begum had always lived here, in a poky, rented room. Like the other tenants in the building, she had got used to living there. It doesn't matter that the room is so dark and so very small, she sometimes told herself. It doesn't even matter that the landlord is mean and greedy and bullies us when we can't pay the rent on time. After all, I have good neighbours. That's the most important thing. And she began to sing a film song loudly to cheer herself up. But it wasn't always easy to forget about the landlord and his mean ways. One winter, every time the wind blew, Nazira Begum and her neighbours felt the old building stirring unhappily. They could hear the rafters groaning and the stairs creaking. And Nazira Begum was perched high up on the fifth floor. What if the stairs, or even the whole building, came down one day? The next time the landlord came to collect the rent, Nazira Begum rushed down the creaky stairs. The other tenants were already waiting for her on the ground floor. She had promised to speak to the landlord on everyone's behalf. Breathless from coming down five flights, Nazira Begum gasped out her complaints to the landlord. Worst of all, she ended, are the frightening noises the building is making. The landlord waved his hand airily, then stretched it out, sharp and straight, for the month's rent. Don't let a noise or two worry you, he said sweetly, taking the notes they handed out reluctantly. Those noises, didn't you know? They're only the praises the old building is singing to the Almighty. The landlord smirked. Then he moistened a finger with his tongue and carefully counted one note after the other. When he came to the last note, he looked at it wistfully, as if he was still hungry. He pushed the money deep into his pocket as he saw Nazira Begum and the other tenants watching him. I am not worried about the building singing hymns, Nazira Begum now said. But what if it decides to kneel down and worship God? Everyone smiled, except the landlord. But a few days later, he had the last laugh. Two men with tools and a plank of wood came to examine the well in the building compound. They hammered the wood with iron nails till the well was neatly boarded and covered. The landlord supervised the job himself. All the tenants came out into the compound, protesting angrily. The landlord looked at them smugly. "I think you've forgotten something," he said. "I've only rented the building to you." "But the compound and the well are part of the building. Have you forgotten to make us pay extra every month for the well?" The landlord still looked smug. "Oh, all right," he agreed, pretending to be oh so reasonable. "I rented the well to you, but what about the water? If you want to use that too, you'll have to pay extra." The landlord grinned at their gaping faces. He looked pleased, as if they had all clapped on hearing his clever words. By this time, Nazira Begum had huffed and puffed her way down the five floors. When she heard the landlord's new demand, she pulled herself up, straight and tall, or as tall as someone who is all of 5 feet tall can be. She said to him, "Since you have rented the well to us, you have no right to keep your water in it." She wagged a plump little finger at him. "Now you pay a rent to us for using our well, or take your water out at once." The workers the landlord had brought with him looked delighted for some reason and began to remove the wooden plank even before he had ordered them to. The landlord left quickly, saying nothing, but determined to get even with this Nazira Begum. Who did she think she was? He was the landlord, and he was going to get her into really big trouble. The next day, the landlord went up to the Begum's room, saying he wanted to look at her walls and balcony and see what repairs were needed. She was surprised. She tried not to be suspicious. Maybe this greedy, grabby man had finally realized he had more than enough. She decided not to say anything to the other tenants in case they got their hopes up, only to have them disappointed. A few hours later, the landlord was back at the Begum's door. But he hadn't come with the men to carry out the repairs. Instead, he had come with an unhappy-looking policeman. Of course, a policeman in the building meant half the neighbours were out on the stairs, though they kept a safe distance to begin with. Nazira Begum opened the door wide, her eyebrows raised like a pair of question marks. "Here," said the landlord to the policeman, "here's the woman I told you about. I took off my gold watch to check the plumbing in her bathroom, and when I came back to the room, it was gone." He pushed past Nazira Begum rudely. "See this dirty table?" he said, pointing at the corner that Begum used as her kitchen. "That's where I put it down." "What are you talking about?" wailed Nazira Begum, seeing the policeman look at her doubtfully. "You didn't take off any watch. I don't remember seeing one on your arm." She turned to the policeman. "I am innocent, sir," she said. The policeman felt uncomfortable. The woman looked like such a plump and happy sort, and she certainly sounded innocent. But then this horrible man had told him he knew the police chief very well. Why hadn't he listened to his mother and become a schoolteacher or something? And now this horrible man was shaking his head at the policeman as if tired of the wickedness of people. "Before I left this room," said the landlord, "I saw the watch was no longer on the table. I asked her to return it, and she refused. And now look at her, standing there, acting innocent." Nazire Begum ignored the landlord. She pleaded with the policeman. "But I am innocent, sir. I can prove it." As she said this, she wondered how she could. After all, it was her word against the landlord's. Or would the other tenants speak up for her, explain while the landlord was framing her? The landlord seemed delighted by the Begum's offer. "Fine, let her prove it," he chuckled. Though the policeman looked more uncomfortable than ever, seeing the landlord's obvious delight, he had to agree. The tenants were now crowding near the door, too scared to come in, but finding it impossible to leave. "Let her prove she is innocent then," said the landlord to everyone. "See this rod?" he asked, casually pulling Nazire Begum's curtain rod down from the wall and slipping the curtain off. "I will heat this rod. If she can hold it in her bare hands, it will prove she is innocent."
"You mean my hands will not burn if I am telling the truth?" asked Nazire Begum.
Suddenly, she looked calm, even though her curtain was on the floor, even though she had been called a thief, and even though everyone else, her neighbours, even the policemen, all looked shocked.
Hey, spluttered the policeman at last. I'd never heard of such a way to prove innocence. I don't think it's allowed."
"Don't worry," said the landlord, smirking. "God will protect her if she's really innocent. And remember how well I know your chief," he whispered in an aside to the policeman, poking him in the stomach with a sharp finger.
"I'll do it," said Nazire Begum.
Everyone but the landlord was both shocked and impressed. Some of them, beginning with little Gopal, who had eaten her kheer just this morning, began to cry with fear.
"I'll take the test," repeated Nazire Begum.
"But let my landlord carry the red hot rod in his bare hands and bring it to me. Since he is such a truthful man, it will not hurt him."
"Of course it won't," snapped the landlord.
But he had turned pale.
"Just a minute," he said. "I have a better idea."
"I told you it's crazy fooling about with a hot rod," mumbled the policeman, surprised by his own courage. To his amazement, the landlord nodded at him and said,
Yes. Let's not do anything hasty. We'd better listen to our friendly policeman. So, what I suggest is... But Nazira Begum interrupted the landlord. You'll bring me the hot rod to hold, or there's going to be no test. The policeman looked at her determined, plump face with envy. If only he could be like her, jolly and tough. The landlord hemmed and hawed, then told the policeman he would go home and search for the watch again, just in case. Now the neighbours decided that they too could be just a little brave. No, they said to the landlord, you can't go till you have apologised to the Begum. They crowded around him till he began to feel nervous. Sorry, he mumbled, looking exactly like he had swallowed a large dose of bitter medicine. I'll never do such a thing again. But he saw that they were still waiting. Like most cowards, the landlord lied easily to get out of a difficult spot. Now he said, in a smooth, oily tone, to Nazira Begum, tell me what I can do to make up to you.
Nothing, said the Begum shortly.
There must be something I can do, insisted the landlord. He was beginning to enjoy this humble act.
All right, said the Begum, suddenly changing her mind. One of you, she waved at the neighbours, please bring me a feather pillow.
Young Birbal rushed off to get it. Nazira Begum handed the feather pillow Birbal brought to the landlord.
Stand in my balcony and slit it open, said the Begum.
The landlord thought she had gone crazy, but decided to humour her. He went to her balcony and slit open the pillow. The feathers tumbled out of the pillow. In a minute or two, most of them had been blown away by the wind.
Now what?
Asked the landlord. His voice was mocking. Now that it was done, why continue to be humble? Nazira Begum looked at him.
Gather the feathers and put them back in the pillow, she said.
Even the policeman grinned a little, forgetting to be unhappy.
But that's impossible, said the landlord. The feathers have flown all over the place.
Just like the lies you have told about me, said the Begum archly.
Enough. Please leave me now to entertain my guests, she said to the landlord.
No one had ever seen the landlord leave his precious property so fast before. So fast did he race to the Begum's door and down the stairs that he was down a flight or two when he heard the laughter erupting on the fifth floor. And it was only then that he noticed that the unhappy policeman had stayed behind. Everyone, except for him, had been invited to the Begum's surprise on-the-spot party.